welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In last week's program, I covered the ideology of critical theory, how it was formerly developed by communist professors from the Frankfurt School in Germany, how it made its way into America and morphed from economic Marxism to cultural Marxism, and how it is really nothing new. It's the philosophy of Satan since his fall from heaven, a criticizing of God, that God is the oppressor, that God wants to keep you down, that God creates values and laws to seize power and freedom belongs to you. Now, critical theory, as it has gotten its fingers into every field of study, doesn't come out directly and say that God is the oppressor. Instead, it teaches that Christian values, Western values, are oppressive. Homophobia, patriarchy, family values, economic free enterprise, nationalism, all of those beliefs and values that have their roots in biblical injunction are keeping you down. And so those on the left who hold to critical theory believe that they're saving people from oppression, the oppressions of the past, which are in effect what is considered the oppression of traditional conservative values, most of which are based on Christian values. Now, Christians see many of the crimes in Western culture, but we see them as the unsaved within the West still operating on their lawlessness. Therefore, in the West, we still had slave traders and husbands beating their wives, and they were the Ebenezer Scrooges of the world. But critical theorists believe it is the Christian values themselves that have caused all of these crimes. That it was the Christian belief in the family and in the role of the husband and the wife, and Christians' opposition to homosexuality and free sex and polygamy and the Christian belief in private property and accountability and morality and nations that resulted in all of the crimes and the poverty and sadness in the Western world. Satan is a master deceiver. Not only does he tempt people to sin, but after they reap the consequences of those sins, he blames the consequences on righteousness. That's Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 18. The Jews were saying that the reason for the destruction of Israel was because they turned to God and because they forsook their idols. That their problem was having these Jehovah values rather than being fully dedicated to Baal. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And I can confidently say that this lie of critical theory will be the platform of the Antichrist. That we have to throw off the values of the past and create new humanistic values and thereby have the utopian society. This is the reversal of the Christianizing of the Roman Empire in the first three centuries of the church age. This is the great apostasy, or rather in the Greek, the great rebellion prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, where the Antichrist and his global empire will speak against God and make alterations in times and laws. What laws will he change? Christian biblical moral law, the law that nations have generally followed over the past 1600 years. So, in all this, how will the church react? Do you think Satan's smart enough to send his demons into the halls of denominations and seminaries to spread a religious form of critical theory? Absolutely. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says, that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And Paul warns the churches, Acts chapter 20, verse 30, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And the subtlety of this deception is described to the Corinthian church. The Satan will appear not as evil, not as an ugly horned creature, but as an angel of light, shedding light on a subject, bringing liberation. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. It will come in disguise. And so here is how critical theory is sold in evangelical circles. Christianity is against oppression. We're to break every yoke and let the oppressed go free. And critical theory is all about coming to the aid of the oppressed. Mainly those oppressed by Christian morality, Christian submission to authority, Christian accountability and personal responsibility. But critical theorists will include in their numbers, will include in their complaint, people who are legitimately oppressed by racism or economic policy. Satan will mix in some virtue to sell the lie. And so the young Christian sits in class at Secular U, and he hears his professor rail against America and against all the crimes of the West. And this Christian thinks, oh, there never was a Christian America. Capitalism is the great evil. We need socialism. And Christians have egg on their face for all of the damage that we have done to the world. We have to do penance. We are the racists. We are the homophobes. We are the intolerant ones. We have made the world a horrible place with all of our biblical rules. And Christians tend, by nature, to put guilt upon themselves. If in doubt, it's our sin. And so we may tend to believe these accusations, not realizing that the foundation of this school of thought is coming from satanic critical theory, from opposition to God. Christians sometimes fail to realize this is resentment masquerading as compassion. This is rebellion masquerading as compassion. And Christians, not knowing the Word of God very well, cannot see through this whole deception. Now, there are two categories that have to be made here. First, those who are genuinely born again but naive. Paul writes to these Christians, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and pure devotion to Christ. And these are the Christians described in Ephesians chapter 4. Those who have not attained to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, but instead are still children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But there is a second category in left-leaning critical theory evangelicalism, those who are not saved. They are the second and third generation Christians in background and in name only, who attend liberal Christian colleges that hold seminars on white privilege and Marxism. These are the teachers of these seminars. These are the clergy in the liberal denominations. They are the false prophets of Jeremiah 23, who say peace to those who break the law of God. These are the Simon the sorcerers of the world in Acts chapter 8, those who are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. These are those who claim to be social justice warriors for the oppressed, but not out of true righteousness, but out of their own bitterness and grievance for being disenfranchised or hurt by the world. They're simply using Jesus to validate their feelings of anger and oppression. Rather than Jesus convicting me of my sin, Jesus is the one who is approving of me, loving me, accepting me as I am in my sin. Jesus is on my side against what I believe is cultural oppression. And these people do not love the world, as John writes in 1 John chapter 2, so they think they're being biblical in their hate. But the world they do not love is a Christian nation. Biblical Puritan reform theology and social policy. You know, at a point we have to realize that these critical theory religious teachers are not Christian. These are those who preach another gospel, Galatians chapter 1, the social gospel, liberation theology, critical theory. These are the ones Jesus spoke against in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we use your name? And in your name cast out demons? Didn't we stop evil? And in your name perform many miracles? Didn't we do good works? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, in a minute, we're going to get back to that phrase, you who practice lawlessness. Because that is a telltale sign that we're dealing with false teachers. That's the zipper in the sheep costume. You know, all of this critical theory rhetoric about saving the oppressed can be very deceiving, but red flags and alarms ought to go up among true Christians when these critical theory evangelicals start to talk about how the church needs to celebrate gay pride, or how the church has been so evil in not accepting homosexuals into membership, or how we need to be more open toward the abortion option. Ultimately, false teachers will promote some form of lawlessness and abandoning of the direct injunctions of God. And this is how the Christian is to know when he is dealing with a false teacher, or when he himself is getting off the path, or when he is with a wrong group, with apostates. Now, I would like to give you a concrete example of critical theory evangelicals. I hesitate to refer to people by name because people change and repent, and these programs become permanent fixtures on the internet. But the New Testament commands us to mark those who cause divisions. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Keep your eye on or mark those who cause dissensions. So sometimes we need to hear the names of false teachers. Brandy Miller is a social justice, critical theory advocate professing to be a Christian. She says she drafted her divorce papers with evangelicalism a long time ago, but she is in the left wing of what still professes to be evangelicalism. Now, Miller would be unheard of, but she gets her op-eds published in the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post would never publish an editorial from a conservative minister, but they're more than happy to publish someone who professes to be a Christian leader who speaks against conservative evangelicalism, even calling it white racism. To quote Brandy Miller, white Jesus is a work of fiction, a tool that Christians have historically used to seize political power and justify their colonialism and imperialism. That is the Frankfurt School of critical theory at its finest. Now, Miller is a campus minister at Northwest Christian University in Oregon. She works for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. 30 years ago, InterVarsity used to be biblical, but it has adopted all sorts of leftist ideology. Here is her bio. Brandy is on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and spends her time musing on the role of practical theology in racial justice. When she isn't doing working, You can find her critiquing Bushi Coffee, listening to Justin Bieber, or in the gym, Olympic weightlifting. You can follow her endeavors at stirupholymischief.com. Also from Sojourner Magazine, Brandy Miller is a campus minister and spends her time deconstructing white supremacy in evangelical spaces and exploring the role of practical theology in racial justice. So this identifies her mindset. I listened to an interview with her where she shared that she came from a conservative church, but once in college, her eyes were open to the social justice movement. And this is the classic case of a kid being raised in a Christian home, going off to the university and being impressed and converted to humanism. Either because this young person from the Christian home was never truly born again, and therefore never really agreed with this whole God of wrath and redemption thing, or this young person is born again, but is untaught in the import of biblical doctrine. So that now this young Christian sees the world through the lens of the philosophies and the traditions of men. And will have to come back to the truth through the school of hard knocks. This departure from faith is happening very often in universities. These students may not lose their faith in theism. They might still maintain a form of religion and attend mainline churches, but they abandon the biblical Jesus for a different Jesus and for a different gospel. Now, in regard to Brandy Miller, let me say that I'm not just picking on her. She has put herself out there as an example of this whole movement in evangelicalism. But I have many articles from leading evangelical pastors, even those who are part of the Gospel Coalition, who are combining critical theory with the gospel, creating a distorted gospel. Brandy Miller is just a good example of a bad example, because she is not as subtle in her critical theory perspectives. Now, it would be helpful to refute all of her editorials in the Huffington Post. I have them all printed out in front of me, underlined, marked up with marginal notes. Just to name a few articles, Jesus is woke, the Christian who cried abortion, white evangelicals are the most fragile of all white people. If you want to be an effective ally, be quiet and know your place. Patriarchy has found a home in the pulpit. Jeff Sessions has the Bible all wrong. White evangelicals will never make America great. But in the few minutes I have left, I will not be able to refute all of her arguments. In the YouTube version of this program, I probably can address much more of this. But for now, let me just address one editorial. Why and how Christians should celebrate Pride, Gay Pride Month in June. This article from her really demonstrates where critical theory has taken her. Homosexuals are oppressed. Christianity rejects homosexuality. Therefore, Christianity oppresses homosexuals. And we need a Jesus and a Christianity that accepts homosexuals. She writes, "For many Christians, however, Pride Month is looked upon with judgment and reproach, and is seen as an opportunity to preach vitriol against LGBTQ people. Pride is an opportunity, not just for the LGBT community to celebrate, but for the non-LGBTQ people to repent and to enter into a more holistic, Christ-like way of being." Now you think, how can a Christian support homosexuality and sexual perversion given all of the Old Testament and the New Testament injunctions against this kind of deviance? Well, because, as she wrote, you need to enter into a more holistic or healing, Christ-like way of being. The idea is that Jesus is love, and that Jesus is accepting of the downtrodden, the outcasts of society. And homosexuals have been outcasts in Christian America in the past. Therefore, Jesus would have accepted them. And so the character of God, love, is interpreted to overthrow biblical moral injunctions against immorality. Now, we agree and acknowledge the fact that Jesus did not stone the woman caught in adultery. But he did say to her, go and sin no more. And the church extends mercy, but also calls to repentance. Excommunication of the immoral from the church is not being unmerciful. It's God's command. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. The one who has done this deed should be removed from your midst. But Brandy Miller writes, as do all of these leftist evangelicals, homosexuals have had to create Pride Month because of homophobic Christians. Christians have excluded, abused, victimized LGBTQ people. The church has made a cross that forces LGBTQ people to carry the weight of exclusion, bullying, and rejection. So what is all this? Critical theory coming to the aid of those who feel oppressed by God. This is Satan's lie in Genesis chapter 3. God is keeping you down. And then in the article, she goes on to make an accusation against historic Christianity that causes us pause. She claims that we are identical to the Pharisees who, quote, weaponized the Bible against people while not caring about their humanity. Now, being sensitive to the possibility of our own sin and hypocrisy, we think, oh, well, maybe we are the Pharisees in our stand against abortion and homosexuality. But then we must remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. What is the main telltale characteristic of those who say, Lord, Lord, but God will say to them, I never knew you? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The sign of apostasy is the abandonment of the moral law of God. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing who bring the false gospel of critical theory. In Pilgrim's Progress, the classic allegory of the Christian life, Christian and hopeful get off the pathway to the celestial city and are captured by giant despair, who imprisons them in Doubting Castle. But upon leaving the territory of Doubting Castle, a territory which many Christians walk into, John Bunyan writes this, they, Christian and hopeful, begin to contrive with themselves what they should do at the gate to prevent those that should come after from falling into the hands of giant despair. So they consented to erect a pillar and to engrave upon them a sign with this sentence. Over this gate is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by giant despair, who despises the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. Many, therefore, that followed after, read what was written, and escaped the danger. What's this all about? Well, today's program is just another signpost to warn Christians about Satan's counterfeit religion, critical theory. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. This has been a two-part series, Program 351, Critical Theory, and Program 352, Critical Theory in Leftist Evangelicalism. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just type that into the YouTube search bar, and there you can find an extended version of each of these programs. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for wisdom, so that we would not be led astray by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We pray not for our sakes alone, but for the protection of your pilgrims and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.